So Isaiah chapter 54, verse 14, God says, "In righteousness you shall be established. You shall be far from oppression." Oh, what a promise. "For you shall not fear, and from terror, for it shall not come near you. Behold, they shall surely gather together, but not by me. Whosoever shall gather together against you shall fall for your sake. Behold, I have created the smith that blows the coals in the fire, and that brings forth an instrument for his work. And I have created the waster to destroy. No weapon that is formed against you shall prosper." I'm going to read that again. "No weapon that is formed against you shall prosper. And every tongue that shall rise against you in judgment, you shall condemn." Not the people, but the tongue. We'll get back to it in a minute. "This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and in their righteousness is of me, says the Lord." Did you see that? In righteousness, verse 14, "you shall be established. You shall be far from oppression." Then in the end of verse 17, "our righteousness is of God, not of ourselves." And I don't have to tell you, you're very aware of this, but we're living in a time where the world's getting darker and the church is moving farther away from the truth. I don't say that to make it sound, again this morning, I don't say that to make it sound like we're the only ones around who's right. But I do say it that there might be found a recognition and an awareness in our hearts of this, that there's only one right way. There's only one right way. God doesn't allow two or three or four. There's only one right way, and that way is the way of the cross, our faith in Jesus and what He there did. And if our faith is in that, God says oppression won't come near you. I've got a Bible, and so do you. It says, "You shall be far from oppression." We're living in a time where Christians are oppressed. You know why they're oppressed? Because their reach and their intention and their main thrust and goal every day is not to be more like Jesus. It's to know a little bit more about the music scene, to stay on top of the new movie that's out. It's to stay, got to have this, got to have that, got to have this man, got to have this woman, got to be at the top. Oppression. All that brings oppression. Righteousness brings deliverance from oppression. People who have thought about killing themselves before. And right now there's more suicide taking place. I work for the government, and every year we have to go through a suicidal prevention training every year, because there are more military people right now killing themselves than ever before. And not just military personnel, but people in general are taking their own lives. Young teenagers are cutting themselves with knives just so they can feel something. They're oppressed by the devil. How many of you know there is a real devil? And he does roar as a lion. He does go about every day seeking whom he may devour. Unless you come to Christ and hang on to Christ, he will eat you up. He will chew you up and spit you out and leave you laying there like you are nothing. It all, listen, those who use cocaine and crack, they think they're somebody. They think they're something, and they start moving that direction. But by the time it's all over, how many have you seen before and after pictures of crack heads? How many of you know that none of those people would have ever said in the first grade, probably not even the fifth grade, "I want to be a crackhead. I want to be used up and abused. I want to be a harlot. I want to sleep with everybody in town. I want to be a drug head." Nobody says that. That's something the devil creeps in because he's roaring as a lion. What does that mean? That means he's saying things to this generation and all generations that would keep them from believing in Christ. And to believe in Christ today, to a lot of people, just means it's some mentality. It's, hey, well, I believe Jesus. I believe in Jesus. You don't believe in Jesus unless you've come to faith in that he died for your sins. And that's such a reality in your heart that you are now following him. If that hasn't happened, you're still not his. To come to Christ, to believe in Christ, means you say, God, I recognize I'm a sinner and I need your help. I need to be saved, not only from a hell that's eternal, but I need to be saved from myself. I need to be saved from myself. For I'm the one who got myself in this problem. And the devil is making it worse, but you gave your son for me, and I'm going to believe in him, not just to get in a church, but to follow Jesus. See, liars are in most pulpits today that'll tell you it's going to be all right, it's okay, wherever you are. You can come as you are, but Jesus says it's not okay to stay where you are. You must deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me, or you cannot come after me. Luke 9:23 is where I'm quoting from. Nobody's following Jesus today because they go to church. Nobody's following Jesus because they read in the Bible. Nobody's following Jesus because they cry every once in a while for sin in their life. The only folk who are following Jesus today, or whoever have, are those who said, God, I'm sorry for my sin. I believe in your son, what he did about my sin, and I'm following him. I don't need the music of the world. I don't need Hollywood. I just need Jesus. Those people alone are following Jesus. Everybody else is following a list of what I need to do or what I don't need to do. That's law. The devil comes to chew us up and to spit us out. But God sent his son. What's what Bible say in John 10? The devil comes to do what? Steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus said, but I have come. I have come that they might have life and life abundantly. You know what that means? That means you might have spiritual awakening. You might live now. We were not living before we were born again. We were just existing and surviving, maintaining. We did not come alive till we accepted Christ as our Savior. Amen. Amen. That's when we were what? Born again. Made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. We are no longer striving to be righteous. We became the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus when we were born again. Now we hunger and thirst to see that righteousness manifest in our lives. What does that mean? That means Jesus wants to live through you. He wants to live. It's more than a church service. It's more than a Bible study. It's the Master living in you and desiring to break forth and live through you for you to say the right things, treat people the right way, love those that can't be loved. Love those that won't love you. Love those that hate you. See, the power of God is there, but it's found when we come to Christ and we're made the righteousness of God. We see that in the Scriptures. In righteousness you shall be established. It's God's righteousness that establishes who we are as a people of God. It's God's righteousness that established our way to heaven. We're on our way to heaven if we're born again. But that doesn't mean that's just it and it's over. We can still lose that. We can walk away from that. We can say, I don't believe that anymore. People have. You can lose what you've obtained. The Bible's full of scriptures that point that out. So we see here this morning that it's in righteousness that we're going to be established. And when we're being established in this righteousness, and let me say something about that. You have been made as a born-again child of God, the righteousness of God. In Christ Jesus, because he's the only righteous one. We have no righteousness without Christ and his fully obedient life and death to be the last obedient act of his life. How many of you know Jesus dying was an act of obedience? because he was sent to die. He said he was commanded to come and die. And that last act of obedience had to be performed, being death under the cross, or you and I couldn't be redeemed. But because there was a man that lived an entire life of never sinning, never falling prey to the lies of the enemy, he lived a full life of obedience to the Father and then gave his life, he became our righteousness. He's the only righteousness God offers men today is through his Son and what his Son did at Calvary. Not just mental thoughts of how right Jesus was. No, you have to come to that place of agreement in your heart. He died for me and I must die with him. Why must I die with him? Because I cannot be born again until my faith says I died with him. He died for me, I died with him. That's what the Bible teaches. The Apostle Paul taught it in Galatians chapter 2 and Romans 6:6. Both of them say that we were crucified with Christ. Maybe I need to stop here for a moment and just point out the perfection of the identity that Christ portrayed for you and me, became to you and me. You know why you were born a sinner? Every person that's ever been born, except Christ, is born a sinner. We don't become sinners when we start sinning. We start sinning because we are born sinners. The reason we were born sinners is because our first Adam became a sinner. So every person that will ever come out of his lineage, the whole human race, will be born sinners. So God sent another Adam, another man not formed of a man. You see, the first Adam is called a son of God. The last Adam is called the Son of God. Neither were formed by other men. God made Adam out of the dirt, breathed into his nostrils. He became a living soul. Jesus, formed by the Holy Spirit in the womb of the Virgin Mary, by the Spirit of God, born as a virgin, became a life-giving spirit. Not another living soul, a life-giving spirit. And you and I are so identified with Adam that God says you're conceived in iniquity. When you were produced by your father in your mother's womb, you were a sinner when you were conceived. That's what the Bible teaches. So we're born spiritually dead, separated from God because of sin. But God has sent someone to make a bridge for us to get back to Him. God has sent someone, and that someone had to do something for us to be able to get back to God. And what this one man, Jesus Christ, this last Adam did, he lived a perfect, obedient, without sin life, and then he gave his life for us that we might live, that we might be reconciled with God. And this man that knew no sin became the sin offering for all those who would believe and would be made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I'm just quoting 2 Corinthians 5:21 if you're taking notes. The Bible says there that Jesus knew no sin, but he became a sin-bearing offering that you and I might be made the righteousness of God in Christ. You see, it's only through that we're made righteousness. It's only through faith in that we find oppression leaving us and ourselves able to sleep better at night. Man, when my wife and I were out there in the world and God got a hold of us and brought us back, I mean, when we first got married, man, we were both, I'd have a bad dream, she'd have a bad dream. We'd have to wake each other up. It was so bad. But the more we learn to trust God and walk with God and depend on God, the more oppression begins to leave. I'm talking about it leave. God says it'll leave. God says it'll be far from you. That's good news. It don't matter how. Listen, I've done forgot most of my bad, and I was bad. I've done forgot, and I ain't forgot it all. But I done forgot most of it. God's that faithful. He'll erase. He erases all the guilt. All the shame. Right now, in this very moment, God, you know what God says? It don't make no difference what you've ever done, what you've ever said that was bad, evil, wicked. It doesn't matter. All that matters is what will you do right this very moment with my son Jesus. That determines what God will do with you. If you accept his son by faith and you begin to follow him, which means you did accept him by faith, then God will begin to show you what he's promised in his word you can experience. I like the way my brother Lauren Larson puts it. You can be, no, he puts it this way, anybody, anywhere can be free from anything, anytime. Wherever God shows up in your life, and he has shown up in your life this morning, whether you're watching on that camera or you're here in this room, God has showed up in your life. You might not expected it, but he is here this morning reminding you just how much he loves you, just how much he did to prove it to you, and just how much he will move on your behalf if you'll believe in the one thing that he did. See, you can't believe in the zodiac. You can't believe in the horoscope. You can't believe in the rabbit's foot and the shiny penny and the dream catcher. And you got to let all that go and say, Lord, it's only about the cross. It's only, that's where you found me. That's where I died. That's where you saved me, justified me. That's where you defeated the devil at the cross. And people want to say negative. They call it negative things about us. They mean it as negative things about us that all they talk about is the cross. I don't care where they're at in the Bible. They're going to drag the cross into every scripture. You better know it, and it's going to happen until Jesus comes, because I can't imagine standing at Judgment Day in front of the Lord saying, thank you for the cross, but I'm glad it was more about than that. Let me tell you something. Everything before the cross was about the cross. It led up to the cross. Everything after the cross will all, everything that God is doing for, with, to, by, in man is all based on what he is doing with the cross. Not your good deeds, not your sentimentalness, not your tears. God, that none of that moves God at all. Just run out there and find you a scripture in the Bible about tears and start crying and see what you get. Nothing. What you will get is from the Lord is everything you're looking for when you come back to true faith. And what it means to have true faith is to simply keep your faith in what Jesus did for you on the cross. It's when you no longer see it as just a hole to blanket the earth, for he did taste death for all men by the grace of God, Hebrews 2:9. But when you take it personal, God, you did that for me. God, you did that for me. You knew me. You knew what I was in. You knew my mess. And you did that for me. And I believe that. I don't care what prayer. I believe that. I don't care about mom and daddy. I hope they get saved. But I believe it. That's what happens when you believe. Families begin to be ripped apart. Jesus said, when I didn't come to bring peace, I came to bring a sword. And those in your own house will be divided because of your faith. You better keep that faith. If he says, I'm leaving you, this is not what I married you for. You better keep Jesus and let them go. Oh, but that's hard, preacher. Yes, it is hard. But God says that you have been made a good soldier and that you can endure hardness. You better let him go. You better let her go. When you find the truth, because on Judgment Day, it won't be, well, Lord, you know, my wife, my husband, they never did. He's not going to say, forget them. It was always about me and you. There will be no blame at Judgment Day. It'll be about what you did with Jesus, no matter what your friends did, no matter what America did, no matter what your husband, your wife, your kids, your parents, you better let all that go and you better grab a hold of Jesus, because if you can be shaken loose in the days ahead and what's coming on this nation, you will be shaken loose. Unless you're willing right now to say, I don't care what comes along. I don't care who will go with me or who won't. I'm not leaving Jesus. That means I'm not leaving the people of God. I'm not letting nobody yank me out of church. If they don't like it, they can stay home. But I know where Jesus... See, there ain't no such thing as following Jesus without obedience. It's just a vain imagination. If folks think they're following Jesus without obeying the Word of God, they're not following Jesus. They don't have what they think they have. You got to obey God. If you don't, in the days ahead, you will be yanked away. You understand that your faith can become shipwrecked. You can lose your soul. A lot of preachers preach that can't happen, but they take scriptures and they twist them. I don't have to twist. I can quote you scriptures and show you where you emphatically, absolutely, concretely can walk away from your salvation. God won't ever leave you or forsake you, but you can leave Him or forsake Him. Amen, Brother Curtis. Now let's look at this morning a little more intently. In righteousness you shall be established. God's trying to establish you as His people in the earth today. What does it mean to be established? Have you ever seen a sign on the store that says established since 1919? Lord, they've been here a long time, brother. God's trying to put a sign on you. Established in my righteousness. Established. See, you are here on the earth today to be a witness, not to just to be a church member. You're here to be a witness unto the Lord. You're here to be a testimony. And how God does that, He shows forth His righteousness through you. The way you live, the way you talk, what you participate in, what you refuse to participate in. I know what I'm talking about. It's not easy to walk away from things that's had you bound for years. It wasn't easy that day to walk into that place instead of having a pants full of dope to sell, a hardback Bible. That wasn't easy. You hear me? That wasn't easy. But it had to happen. It had to happen. The change had to happen. Peter thought he was a follower of Christ, and he was to some degree, but the Lord Jesus finally had to tell him, when you're converted... You see, there's a lot of folks following this Jesus from a distance. They're not committed. And you need to hear me this morning. Jesus would have followed him close. Peter denied Jesus from a distance. It's dangerous to follow Jesus from a distance. You better get close. You better hang on. You better follow Him. He'll bring you through everything that's heavy, everything that gets dumped on you. When that guy or that gal comes home and says, I don't like you, I don't love you no more, they tell you you're fired, we don't need you anymore, and you lose that good job after 30 years, whatever, the doctor tells you, I'm sorry, but I've got to tell you, you've got cancer, it don't matter, it's all that's bad news. But once you've got a hold of the good news, there ain't no bad news that can rise above the good news. Because you've got that anchor. You've got that hold on His hand. Bad news coming your way. Well, how do you know that, preacher? Because it comes everybody's way. Who's ever lived a life and didn't have bad news that came? Hard things are going to come. But God says oppression will be far from you. No matter what comes your way, Curtis, you'll still be able to sleep at night. You'll still be able to treat people right. You know why people don't treat other people right? Because they're being oppressed by the devil. If you show me a Christian that's treating other people bad, and they say, well, it's because this, or they're being oppressed by whatever they're calling this or that. There ain't no need. God says, if we're being established by His righteousness, then oppression will be far from us. That's good news. I don't have to go to bed and worry every night. I sleep when I go to bed. Does that mean everything's perfect and right? No, but it means God's in control. God's in control. He's going to work it out. My dad told me something years ago. He's gone now, but he told me years ago, he said, when in a hard time I was having. He said, Curtis, hadn't God taken care of you up to this point? I said, well, yeah, I guess he has. He said, well, you think he's changed his mind now? I needed to hear that. You need to hear this morning. God is in control of everything. I don't care. He's in control of Obama. Well, why is Obama? I didn't say Obama's following him. I said he is ultimately in control. God, there ain't nothing the devil can do that God don't allow him to do it. Look at this. In righteousness you shall be established. You shall be far from oppression. Because you shall not fear. Why is it we don't fear? Because that perfect love we've been given, that perfect love of God has done what? It's removed fear. It cast fear out. Fear is what keeps us paralyzed. People are at home today, won't go to a church, and they got all these reasons they won't go. But the root of it is they're fearful. They're fearful. They're fearing something. God says those that are being established in righteousness won't fear. And they won't be oppressed. Am I reading the Bible to you this morning? And from terror, something our nation is learning about, terror. And we're going to learn about it more and more. Have you noticed that just all of a sudden, it's every day? It's every day now. Some devil has got a gun and he's killing folk. Why is it all of a sudden it's happening? These nuts have been armed out there, thousands and thousands of them. There's nuts, and probably got some in our own town probably. But God just now is beginning to allow them to do this. Why? Why is God allowing the devil to do what he's doing now at a little larger scale? Because he's trying to get your attention, my attention. Listen, the world's lost. They can't hear from God unless they hear the gospel. But you and I can be awakened and become more alert and become greater benefiters of what Christ provided for us at Calvary. Now, there's a difference between living in fear and having the wisdom of God. I mean, if people are shooting up the streets out there, you might ought not get out too much. There is a wisdom that we need to have. And we shouldn't, I mean, staying at home because somebody's shooting all out in your yard, not coming out of the house, that's not fear, that's wisdom. We don't live in fear, we live by wisdom. So the Bible says, it shall not come near thee. I'd be willing to say this morning that most all of Christianity is being oppressed by something. Most all of Christianity is being oppressed by something. It's a past relationship where we really, really, really got hurt. And so we're still hanging on to that. We got to let that go. And let me tell you something. You can't go buy a book at the bookstore and find out how to let it go. You ain't never letting it. The only letting go place is Calvary. There ain't no other letting go place. Time does not heal all things. The cross does. Time does not heal all things. How many of you know we're all passing through, lost and saved alike? It ain't about passing through. It's about where we're headed. Amen. So let's look at this a few more minutes. Behold, they shall surely gather together, but not by me. Who? Them who would come to oppress you. Them who would come to bring fear in your heart. Them who would come to terrorize you. You don't have to be terrorized by Islamic terrorists. You can be terrorized by just some racism, some bully at school. You can be terrorized by fear that could come from a multitude of things. Fear, you know, people have all these fears. They say they can't be in crowds. They're fearful of crowds. They're fearful of this. They're fearful of flying. They're fearful of this. They're not really fearful of any of those things. They're fearful of what might happen to them. And what's that? They're fearful of dying. See, we need to see things in a different light. Nobody's really scared of a crowd. They're scared of what might happen to them in a crowd. Nobody's really fearful of flying. They're fearful of what might happen to them. They might die in a plane. Nobody's really fearful of a ship. I don't like them. But they're fearful of what might happen to them in the middle of the ocean. And that can be a fearful place. I woke up in the Marine Corps out on a naval ship, and I walked into the ready room, and it said, "You are now 600 miles from the nearest piece of land." I thought, how could that be possible? How did I get out here? That's a fearful thing. Knowing I can't drink that much water and I can't swim that far, I'm in trouble. And then you hit a storm to where you literally have to hang on to your bed to stay in it. Don't tell me fear ain't real. Don't tell me you can't be terrorized by things that God don't want you terrorized by. We need wisdom, but not to fear. Amen. They shall surely gather together, but it won't be by me, God says. Whosoever shall gather together against you shall fall for your sake. That's why this church is still here. Oh, there's been many gather up and put out. You know, they hadn't come and tried to tell us, "Don't y'all stop meeting there." But they do it in the dignified, spiritual way today. They just go to Walmart and talk about you. They get on that phone and they talk about you. You know those folk down there. They you know, little old church got 5-6 people in it. You've heard about it. They started out there in that house in Bright Star. Oh, give them 6 months. They'll be back in here with us. You know what we found out? We found out what God's righteousness is really all about. Amen. We found out that we're still learning the benefits of His righteousness that comes to us through faith in the blood of Jesus. We're still learning. We're still what? We're still being established in this righteousness. And they're still talking, but it ain't near as much because they've had to stand back and watch what God would do. They've had to stand back and watch what God would do. And there came a day when it didn't rain for several weeks, several years ago. And who'd they call? "Brother Curtis, we need you to come pray with us." And I went and met with all those preachers, and I got up in that pulpit and I said, "What we need's to come back to Calvary. If you want the rain, you got to come back to Calvary." And I promise you this, every preacher in that house was down at that altar on their knees that night. Every one of them was down there on their knees begging God for rain. But you know what? It don't do you no good to beg God for anything unless you come back to Calvary. You're just going to remain a beggar. You come back to Calvary, you get it all.
Hallelujah.
You get it all. And God will keep oppression and fear and terror away from you as you're being established in this righteousness that's found through the cross of Jesus Christ. See, this is good news today. This is good news today. As long as you stay in the place where you're being established. What's that mean? That means I'm not listening to what grandma taught me. I'm not listening to what that preacher I've been listening to for years is taught. If he ain't pointing to Calvary in this Bible, I've got to cut him loose. I don't care how sweet he is, how professional he is, how much money he gave me when I was sick and hurting, how he paid my bills, I've got to let him go. Because if he ain't pointing to Calvary, the devil's speaking through him. And he's using the Bible just like Hitler did to get what he really wants. A paid salary and a fine retirement one day. That's what most preachers are after, a fine salary and a retirement one day. What we need to be after is what God is after, souls coming in the kingdom, then learning how to live in the kingdom, being established in righteousness. Let me say it again. Most of Christianity today is being oppressed because they're not learning the truth. God cannot establish you in His righteousness even though you already are the righteousness of God. In Christ Jesus, He cannot establish you in that unless your faith remains in what got you in. And I know how easy it is to move our faith away from the cross. I'll give you the example I always do. I do it all over this country. Wherever I go preach, I tell them this, that on Friday, I just got ugly and talked to my wife ugly and just committed sin, and that was Friday. And then on Monday, I see somebody needing some money, so I just pull my wallet out and I give them some. I'm doing a good deed now, you see. I'm trying to cover up that bad sin on Friday, and I'm trying to cover it up on Monday. God said, Curtis, you can't cover up no sin. The blood of my Son is the only thing that takes that sin away. So I can't go do something good on Monday to make up for what bad I did on Friday. All I can do is say, Lord, forgive me and help me not to do that again. And then I can go ahead and still bless that man that needs some money, but that ain't doing nothing for Friday. Amen. One of the most powerful things you will ever hear in your life is that you can't do anything to be saved, born again, and get to heaven. You can't do anything to get in the kingdom of God except believe. Anybody, I don't care how dignified and 60 years long they've been in ministry and glory to God and hallelujah, thanks be to Jesus, how spiritual they sound. If they tell you you've got to be water baptized to go to heaven, that's the devil telling you that. If they tell you you've got to speak in tongues to go to heaven, that's the devil telling you that. If they tell you you have to do anything to get in heaven, you have just been lied to. And I don't want to bring this statement to you this morning, but I have to. Do you know these denominations? Every city you go in, they have these big churches. It's called the Church of Christ. Do you know that they, I'm not making, you go ask them. They will all tell you that if you're not water baptized, you cannot go to heaven. Do you know if that's what they believe, they're not going? Do you know if that's what they believe, they're not going? Why is that? Because they have said the cross was not enough. I need to also do something. Yes, you should be water baptized. Yes, you should. It is a biblical act of obedience as a testimony unto what God has already done in your heart. He's already saved your soul, and it represents you dying, being buried and resurrected with Christ. But when you, listen carefully, when you call water baptism an act of your salvation, God sees that act, even though it's biblical, an act of evil. But you know what God does? When He brings you back to Calvary, I'll never forget hearing Brother Swaggart on that radio station. And I don't care who likes Brother Swaggart or who don't. I could give. I don't care who does and who don't. It's not a sin not to listen to Brother Swaggart. The sin comes into play as the reason you give why you won't. And I guarantee it, the reason you give will be sinful. Well, I just don't like him. That's sinful. Well, why is it sinful not to like somebody? Why don't you like him? Here we're getting close to the sin now. Well, you heard about what? No! Oh! You holding somebody guilty of what God says is doesn't even exist? But you wanting God to turn around and forgive everything? Sin. 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 God won't overlook it. Now, I want to point out one other thing before I close. I still got 7 minutes. Unless y'all, 15 you say, okay. Who'll give me another 15? God says in verse 16, He says, behold, I have created the smith. He's talking about the